Bible does not teach reincarnation. Now, I hope you distinguish when I was teaching last night between what I said was opinion and what was solid fact. I said I had an opinion about the offspring of that illicit union that Genesis talks about. That opinion is not necessary. I can change an opinion. That's an opinion I have. It's an educated guess. Because I can't explain where bodiless demons come from. I'm not talking about the distinction between the invisible and the visible. That distinction is there whether there's form or not. You see, I happen to think God has form. To some people, God's just some amorphous something out there. Well, isn't God omniscient? Isn't he omnipresent? How many of you know that most of those theological concepts are deductions from Scripture? They're not in Scripture. Passed on by German idealists who dominated theology during the period when liberalism was in the vogue. Omniscience and omnipotence are mutually exclusive. Now, as Paul Tillich said, it's sometimes as blasphemous to define God as it is to deny him. That's not quite true, but it makes a point. Because when you define God, you in essence put yourself above him. And it is presumptuous to think that we can contain the meaning of God in our concepts and in our mind sufficient that we could articulate it definitively. Paul says we look through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now, Paul Tillich says in his concept of the awesome wonder of God, it's as blasphemous to define him as it is to deny him. In the ultimate sense, that's true, because in defining him, you deny him, because you make him what he isn't. But in terms of intent, to want to know is not as blasphemous as to simply deny. But having stated that humbly, and recognizing that most theological concepts are poetic utterances that can be grabbed in faith, but they have no behavioral meaning at all, I then get on with the job of demystifying spiritual things. I believe God is not infinite. Let me give you some real heresy tonight. I believe that God is not infinite. By choice, he created me and you. And we are other than God. And in that sense, he is not infinite in that he's not me. You say, well, can't God be in you and you in God? Yeah, he defines that. How do I get in God? Let him in me. Hey, Romans 8 says that. But God's not infinite to the degree that he created other than himself. You say, oh, you're a heretic. No, I'm right in the stream of Hebrew Christian doctrine. Martin Buber, probably of all Jewish theologians, understood that concept of the great other, and he wrote the book, The I-Thou Relationship. Omniscience and omnipotence are mutually exclusive. Now, God doesn't have to bow to Aristotelian logic. Our whole language frame comes through Aristotelian logic that says A cannot be A and B at the same time. It must either be A or not A. Can't be both. If you take that logic, then you've got the problem. Does God have the power to do something he didn't know he's going to do? Well, sure, he's omnipotent. He has the power to do anything. He can do something he didn't know he was going to do. But he's no longer omniscient. Because there was something he has the power to do that he didn't know he was going to do. Omniscience means he knows everything. So if God has the power to do something he didn't know he was going to do, to that degree he's not omniscient. He didn't know he was going to do it. Well, I don't believe that. God's got to be omniscient. Well, then he's not omnipotent. because he can't do something he didn't know he was going to do. Well, King James says he's omnipotent and omniscient. Where? Where's the chapter and a verse? It can't be both. Well, I believe it. Well, that's fine. That's an article of faith. It's poetic, but it's utter, meaningless nonsense. Don't care. I like to believe that. Help yourself. But understand, it is nonsense. It means no sense. We carry a lot of baggage around with us. Well, God, flesh and blood not enter heaven. Well, I said flesh and blood. Because you better know what he means by sarx. That's the word in the Greek. The hypostasis is substance. The Bible talks about the hypostasis of God moving into the stream of history. That's substance, my friend. Well, can God change shapes? I guess he can. He can speak and nothing becomes anything. He can move into it. But the devil's not a creator. What makes you think the devil can create like God? He doesn't know everything that's going to happen. There's a lot of things I don't tell the devil until I do them. I catch him by surprise, get a couple of jumps on him. I like to cheat when I race with the devil. If I can, I'll trip him when we start. We'll start three. You know, we'll say, let's go on the count of three. One, I'm gone. That's the way the devil is. You believe you ought to be fair with the devil? Oh, well, you know, wait a minute. We've got to always tell the truth. They'll always be honest and fair. All Christians are fair. Now, devil, I'm getting ready to cast you out. Now, I don't want to take advantage of you. Put your guard up. I believe in being fair. Man, if I could lie to the devil, I'd do it in a minute. Hey, devil. There's a bunch of innocent little saints down there. You can really take advantage of them. You go down right down there to that corner and turn right three blocks. I'd love to do that and have him meet Martin Luther incarnate coming around the corner. I'd lie to the devil in a minute. I'd shoot him in the back. I'd kick him in the knees. Some of our theology is really... I don't know how the church world has attracted as many intelligent people as it has. Now, the Bible does not teach reincarnation. When that life moment starts, and I don't know where it starts, when the seed and the egg come together or what. But a living soul suddenly is passed on. That's interesting, too, that God gave to man and woman that capacity. And once it's created, it is one. I taught last night on the empirical basis for reincarnation. And most people who listened figured out that what I was telling you about Ed Cacase doesn't prove it. Ed Cacase doesn't prove reincarnation because it's not the person having memories of his past. It's Ed Cacase telling them they had a past. And what from that past is the traits that they can expect to have to deal with today. So that doesn't prove reincarnation. I introduced the teaching on Case by talking a little about reincarnation and saying the evidence is there that some people have had experiences where they are familiar with happenings in past ages, some of them historical, and when you check them out, there's no way they could have had knowledge of that. So that empirical evidence demands an explanation. I gave one possible one, and I didn't get to finish last night. Now, it is true in Scripture that there are demons, and demons can dwell in a human being, speak through him, and activate him. Demon possession. I gave an explanation where those bodiless beings came from. And I offered an opinion, but I'm still searching on that subject. Doesn't mean it's the final answer, but I'll tell you what I'm not searching on. That is that demons exist and can possess people. And that they apparently need a body to gratify a need of their own. That they must work through some living being. And they can use an animal, apparently. Though an animal would rather die than have them in it, in the case of those pigs. I also know there are demons that got some terrible forms that are locked up in the abyss. The book of Revelation tells me that. Now, I could explain as a possible reincarnation theory that there is someone, a demon. I'm quite sure that demon boy of the Gadarenes that had a legion of demons in him, or that boy in the synagogue, or a man, or whatever he was. Apparently nobody else was aware of the fact, but that demon that was controlling that person recognized Jesus, and Jesus told him, shut up. Don't reveal me yet. Now, that demon had a memory of Atlantis. That demon had a memory, if Atlantis existed, and that demon had a memory that went back to the earliest time. That demon knew who Jesus was because that demon was present in the councils of heaven that Romans 8 talks about, where Jesus stepped forth to become the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, God's fail-safe program for failing man. That demon has that recollection. So one possible explanation of the empirical evidence which is interpreted as reincarnation could be there is an intelligent being in a person that does have those past lives. They possessed a different one in a different life. Now immediately there's going to be some people call and say, well, then anybody that has an experience that recalls things of the past is demon-possessed? I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. In fact, my study of reincarnation tells me that very few people who experience a throwback reincarnation episode have an experience of themselves being another person. What they have is an experience that throws them back to a scenario of memory that enables them to recall incidents in another age, which said recollection factor is interpreted as evidence that they themselves in another form of existence existed also. But there are exceptions to that. Some people actually recall being in another life. Now, when they get that far with their reincarnation experience, I lean toward crediting it to a demon. But the simple memory of events in past lives does not necessarily mean the person remembers that he himself was a particular priest in a past life, or lady, or consort, or king. There's a myriad number of empirical evidences that become the seedbed from which various reincarnation theories develop. I have a right to my opinion. I always distinguish between opinion and fact. I believe if the reincarnation experience is an experience of having, if I, for example, have an experience of having been, and I can clearly, in some throwback experience, clearly have a recollection of myself being a person, identifiable, present when the pyramid was being built, I think I'm going to go get some help for exorcism, because I think that that person having that recollection of me being there is some other being in me. The soul does not transmigrate and reincarnate. Psalms makes it clear. He just takes our breath, that's ruach, back to him, and it stays with him Now, I don't believe everybody that has recollection of past events and past lives is demon possessed. The Spirit of God has the power to possess us, as demons have the power to possess us. The Spirit of God has been present in all ages too. And the Spirit of God can speak through us and recall events. But there's a subtle difference. It was not some entity that is Gene Scott's soul that used to inhabit some priest or some king ages ago. Gene Scott's a new creation. That day I was formed in my mother's womb, Gene Scott became a living soul that instant. Gene Scott has one shot here. And when Gene Scott dies, that soul goes to his maker. Period. No soul sleeping here. That's it. You don't believe that? Well, you know, fine. We disagree. You have a right to be wrong. That's just the way it is. I'm hitting some people's real pet theories. Well, give me your verses of Scripture. Write me a whole testament. Now look at it. Any recollection of past lives comes from not souls that have been there, but those denizens of the spirit world, demon spirits, that can come into us and live out their lusts or desires and have their memories of past habitations. And there is a point where you know the difference between when they're thinking and you're thinking. That's real demon possession. That's the Gadarene boy. And you return to your senses when that spirit's gone. You say, you just said the Holy Spirit can possess you, and he has a memory of past lives, ages. That's right. But he is one. Whereas demons are multiple. And a demon can occupy a different vessel called a life in each age and keeps leaping from body to body. As when the demon-possessed boy of the Gadarenes, had he died, those demons would have gone to find another habitation. In fact, there's a scripture about getting demons out of you, and if you don't act a certain way, the one that left will go out and get a bunch more and come back and will be seven times worse when he comes back. When the Spirit is in you, I believe the Spirit can work to recall past events and past ages, but it will not be a recall of you being an entity in those past events and past ages. The Holy Spirit is one. When the Holy Spirit speaks through us, prophetically or backwards, I'm convinced the Holy Spirit revealed things to Jeremiah. I saw the earth, and there was no man. That's the Holy Spirit through Jeremiah unveiling. But it doesn't mean Jeremiah was one of those residents in that city in that previous age any more than Ezekiel, who sees the end of time, is present. The Holy Spirit is without time differentials. And when the Holy Spirit is in us, the Scripture says if you have a spirit, you have the mind of Christ. So I can find both a positive and a negative source for the kinds of experiences that allow the interpretation of reincarnation. If I didn't believe the Bible, then we're not convinced. For example, the realism of the New Testament epistemology, to use a jawbreaker to the few philosophers that listen to me and know what I'm talking about. The whole world is divided epistemologically between idealists and realists. Idealists say they're entities having relationships, or rather realists say that. Idealists say that nothing but the relationships. Idealism leads to pantheism. Idealism leads to the ultimate concept that I move my little finger and it affects China in some way. And it ultimately destroys individuality and individual immortality, and there's just a stream of undifferentiated reality. Realists know that God is God and we are other, and the ultimate relationship's a dialogue relationship. You are divided right down the middle. Now, without the Bible, I might find it compatible to become an idealist and lean towards some Eastern religion. But the Bible, once I accept the authority of Christ, nails me down. No matter how pet my theory, no matter how much my emotions reach toward it, the Bible lays me down one track by its authority. I'm a realist. Of course, it's easier because the English language made a realist out of me with its changing verbs and fixed nouns. That's another subject. Likewise, I have an empathy for reincarnation because of the multiplied evidence. I don't have to work at finding an explanation. The evidence would make me give the easiest explanation. There's just a bunch of us turned loose somewhere back there, and we just keep finding new physical houses to dwell in. We go from life to life. I have that wheel of life, the transmigration of souls. The reincarnation theories are the easiest explanations to explain the empirical data. I have to work to find an explanation consistent with Scripture. And that explanation consistent with Scripture says, I have an easy explanation to those that are demon-possessed. The entity, to use Case's words, is the demon. He's just finding a new house and so taking over that the entity possesses the creature, and the creature thinks he had the past life when in fact it's the entity, the demon. Difficult problem is reincarnation experiences that remember good things of past lives that I can hardly equate with demonology. There are those that remember the warfare and spirit world in past lives where good people are doing things. But as I analyze, and I challenge anybody to give me some readings or some case histories that are contrary. When it is a positive kind of experience interpreted as reincarnation, I find that usually they're remembering events, but not necessarily having the experience of having personally been the entity that was there. That's easy to explain then. The Holy Spirit was always there, working on those that did positive and constructive things, and he's now in that person who's having the recall. And I firmly believe the Holy Spirit can reveal past and present to someone through his word. But I wasn't there. The Holy Spirit was there. That's the biblical doctrine. Now, I could go on Edgar Case all night. He never proved reincarnation. He went into a sleep-like trance and gave readings to people who came to him for help, and part of his readings was to tell them, talk of the entity that was in them. Troubled people came to him. He told them they had an entity, their soul, that had these past existences, and he would trace it back until they could see habit patterns, and he would tell them future things. I'm not elevating Edgar Case. I think Edgar Case was a good and honest man, probably loved God a great deal more than some of his critics. And he had a strange experience, could be parapsychology. What I'm looking at Case on is not primarily because of reincarnation. I took that to get there. I'm looking at Atlantis and the fact that these revelations he had, like Nostradamus, so many of them come to pass. Instead of starting where most people start with Atlantis, geology and archaeology and language commonalities, I started with this spectacular seer, Edgar Case, who describes roughly 40,000 years of Atlantean history through the remarkable method of being in a sleep-like hypnotic trance and speaking forth in a reading for some troubled soul that came to talk to him. And stenographers took it down, and the reading describes this poor troubled soul as having had, and he never talks, if it's Bob Turner, for example, it's not Bob Turner, but rather an entity that is dwelling in Bob Turner, which said entity may have been Nero in another life, dwelling in another age. I'm saying that if it is demon possession reality, such as the New Testament talks about, I have no difficulty. The entity is the demon. If it is Holy Spirit possession, you hardly call it an entity because there are not multiple personages the Holy Spirit in some mysterious, incapable of being explained and differentiated manner, dwells in all of us. And wherever he is, he's absolutely there. But he is one. He has the knowledge that comes from the Father. Now, I'm not going to teach on that much more tonight. I just want to clear the air on it.